Welcome to the fifth episode of the monthly data modeling podcast, produced by Mark Morgan for DjangoModeling.com. This monthly podcast discusses many different aspects of data modeling, the principles and the practice, based on what I have learned through years of experience, how to make the right choices consistently. This month we continue to look at connections and we consider many-to-many relationships. A many-to-many relationship is really best shown by example. One author can write many books. This is a one-to-many relationship. However, one book can also have many authors. Putting these two facts together, we see a many-to-many relationship. Two one-to-many relationships in opposite directions. Since this is not always easy to understand, let's look at a few examples. A car can have many different drivers. A driver can drive many different cars. A shopping cart can have many product lines in it. The same product line can be in many different shopping carts. A traveller can take many flights. Each flight can carry many travellers. A many-to-many relationship exists when you can have more than one connection in each direction. Using the first example above, if a car needs to point to many drivers, we can store a foreign key in the driver rows as a many-to-one relationship. But if each of the drivers also needs to point to many cars, the situation becomes confusing. The cars need to have a many-to-one relationship with the drivers. Each car needs to store the foreign key of a driver. If both of these relationships is mandatory, each car must have at least one driver and each driver must have at least one car, then it can be difficult to create the new table entries unless these constraints can be deferred. We will talk more about constraints later. Overall, it is much easier to use an intermediate or connecting table which stores two foreign keys, one for a car and one for a driver. This is a connection object, which can be created after the car and driver rows are created. Constraints can still make this difficult to manage if the connections each way are mandatory. Deferring the constraints is normally necessary for success. So let's look a bit more at constraints. They are simply limitations on something. In a database, many different constraints can be set up. For example, if you store contact information about your friends, they must have a name, but an email address or Facebook account may be optional. Well, okay, for many people it isn't optional, but let's imagine that it is. To store details of your friends in a database table, you could add a constraint that name is a mandatory column. Trying to create a new friend in your table would fail unless you provide a name. However, creating a friend with no email address or Facebook information would not cause any problems. The same concept is used for connection constraints. A foreign key may be mandatory or optional. If a table has a mandatory foreign key column and you try to create a row with no connection to another object, the database will not let you create the row. Now let's think about application logic, because not all data constraints can be implemented through mandatory columns or database foreign key constraints. At times it will be better for checks to be made by a supervising application which knows the true data requirements, particularly with complex connections. In such a situation, the software might need to insert or edit rows, and there could be times during this process where the data is not valid. Connections are missing, or the connected objects are missing. In theory, as long as the data is valid once the process is complete, the intermediate situation will normally not be important. Be aware, however, that this can be a source of problems and invalid data, since the application logic will not be flawless. Bugs in the software can easily cause corrupt data. At times, integrating with other suppliers or systems will require some validation to be done in the database and some in application logic. This can make maintenance and debugging difficult and is best avoided as far as possible. One situation is even worse, the same checking being done in both the database and in application logic. Duplication makes maintenance even harder. So, conclusions about this? Well, database constraints are well understood and well tested too. Application logic is less reliable, particularly when the application is still being extended or improved over time. Despite this, there are some situations where application logic is the best place for implementing or checking constraints. Now let's summarize data modeling connection types. We have reviewed connection types over the past few podcasts and seen that a few simple names can describe different types of connections in a general way. One-to-one relationships, and they can be mandatory or optional. One-to-many relationships, many-to-one relationships, and many-to-many relationships. To some extent, these can be enforced or controlled by constraints in a database, but it is only the simple configurations that can. And even so, the constraints are not as simple as you might expect. A mandatory one-to-one relationship can be implemented as a foreign key relationship, enforced as being not null. Thus, each object must store the unique identifier of some connected object of the correct type. A uniqueness constraint must also be added to make sure that each row stores the identifier of a different connected object. It's a little messy, but it's still relatively simple. An optional one-to-one relationship can also have a foreign key relationship in the same way, but since it is optional, a null or empty value can also be accepted. Simple. The complicated part is in making sure that only one foreign key entry can point to any connected object. With some database management systems, this can be easily done with a nullable column. However, others require extra effort, and it can be quite difficult to get the protection you would like while using standard constraints or indexes. A many-to-one relationship is probably easiest of them all. A foreign key from the many end of the relationship stores the unique identifier of a row in the table for the one end of the relationship. A one-to-many relationship is normally created as a many-to-one relationship, as discussed earlier. This is easy as long as it is an optional connection. However, if each row in the one-end table must appear in the foreign key column of at least one row in the many table, enforcing this again is more complex. A many-to-many relationship uses an intermediate table with two foreign keys, one pointing to each end of the relationship. Each connection requires a row in this table, and constraints can make sure there are no duplicate connections if this is necessary. The connection table can also store additional information about the connection as required. Now, we've already seen through examples that often the exact number of connected items can be very important. For example, most cars require four wheels. A fifth spare wheel may be an optional extra, but the first four are mandatory. There is no simple connection name that indicates such a connection type. Ordinarily, in a database, this would be stored as a many-to-one relationship with four wheel records using a foreign key reference to point to a car record. However, no simple constraint can make sure that four or five objects are connected, no more and no fewer. This must be done through other means in the database, or in some controlling software that supervises data changes. Having limits on the number of connected objects is very common, upper limits and lower limits, but often not just the relatively easy 0 or 1. Now in English, we often show cardinality of relationships through the use of plurals and the location of apostrophes, but that's a bit hard to talk about in an audio recording. To see the examples that were included in our newsletter, go to the www.djangomodelling.com website and search for Grammatical Aside. Well, we've come to the end of our fifth episode of the Data Modelling Podcast, and we hope that you have enjoyed it. The next episode is planned for the first Monday of April, when we hope to look at the benefits of good data modelling. In the meantime, if you want to enjoy reading similar information, why not visit the djangomodelling.com blog at djangomodelling.com/blog. Until next time then, that's it from Mark Morgan for djangomodelling.com.